going into high school having like that fear that, okay, like my whole life is about to change. Just like going into a new area and meeting a bunch of new people, going into an unknown space that you really don't know what's gonna happen. I think that you just become very conscious of like everything that you do.
Research tells us that up to 80% of girls will struggle with body confidence. This is about much more than physical appearance and looks. It's a belief in what their bodies can say and do and be as they move through the world. I'm Megan Murphy, Global Executive Director of the International Coalition of Girls Schools, and this is On Educating Girls Shorts, an audio offering from the coalition that provides practical tips and advice in a short, easily digestible format. You've just heard the voice of a student at one of our member schools. She shares how navigating spaces became more difficult as she entered her high school years when she lost some of her body confidence. Today, we'll turn to clips and insights like this from previous podcast episodes and further afield to help educators and parents and caregivers navigate body image with the girls in their lives and with themselves and why it's important to do so.
Well, what we know from several decades of research and my work speaking to thousands of girls around the world is that body confidence is a really important issue for girls in childhood, but in particular as they go through into puberty and to adulthood. So it's a really key time to think about fostering body confidence. And why it's important to focus on is that we now know that body confidence affects all key areas of girls' lives. So what most people might think of when they think about body confidence might be self-esteem, for example. But we know from really robust research with girls that it affects their physical health and their mental health. So if you have low body confidence, you're more likely to feel depressed and anxious. You might struggle with disordered eating behaviors, exercising too much or perhaps too little, through to things like avoiding going to the doctor or even putting your hand up in the classroom. 8 out of 10 girls globally, when they have low body confidence, opt out of important life activities like that. And also things like trying out for a team or club and asserting their opinion. So it really affects physical and mental health, relationships, but also girls' career and education aspirations and performance, and whether or not they feel comfortable to take up space in the world and to assert themselves. So it impacts individual girls, but us as a society, because when girls hold themselves back, we miss out on all of the amazing things that they can offer.
You've just heard from Dr. Philippa Dietrichs, a professor of psychology at the Center for Appearance Research at the University of the West of England in Bristol. She's also the founder of Everybody Consulting, a global group of thought leaders and social scientists in body image, appearance diversity, and mental health. Dr. Dietrichs appeared on the second episode of our podcast, The Connected Girl, where we heard that young girls are exposed to nearly 600 media images daily. They are unable to escape the relentless messages about the perfect look, the perfect weight, the perfect size, and perfect skin tone. Girls need powerful counter messaging that reminds them that they are so much more than what they see reflected back in their cell phone screens. Here's Dr. Dietrichs again.
Essentially, what we've seen in the research that when you are exposed to people of different body sizes and shapes, for example, or skin tones or facial appearances on social media, that can have a beneficial impact to your body image or at least cause no harm, which is better than what we were seeing before. We also know that it allows people to find community. And then finally, the access to support. There are some really great accounts and sources out there where young people can access for free help and like information and education on how to look after themselves and have more positive body image.
One such positive source is Dove, a brand doing work to challenge unrealistic beauty standards with its self-esteem project. Here is psychologist Sanam Narin, also known as the Conscious Psychologist on Instagram, sharing what she calls her unresolution for the new year in partnership with Dove South Africa.
Aren't you tired of hearing comments about your weight, your skin color, or just your appearance in general from elders or aunties in the brown community? Western beauty standards can have a huge impact on a little girl. As a brown girl myself, I had internalized narratives around how fairer skin, less pigmented lips, smaller noses, or being petite is seen as more beautiful. Whether this came indirectly from family members, the way my grandmother spoke about her own appearance, or just watching movies in general. This year, I'm rewriting the narrative and breaking these generational cycles with Dove and celebrating what makes me unique and beautiful. As we set our New Year's resolutions for this year, don't forget to include the beauty standards that you're teaching to, which has a direct impact on your mental health, as well as your self-worth. My personal 2025 unresolution to boost my happiness and self-confidence is to compare myself less to others on the internet. I encourage you to join this movement with me, rip up the negative, and set your own hashtag New Year Unresolution. Visit Dove.com to access the Dove Self-Esteem Project for Women and start defining beauty on your own terms.
So how should a parent help their child to build this self-esteem? Here's Dr. Judith Locke, a guest from the first season of The Connected Girl. Dr. Locke is a clinical psychologist, researcher, and author who's written books including The Bonsai Child, The Bonsai Student, and co-authored Raising Anxiety. She says that even though caregivers are spending more time in care parenting their children than ever before, the levels of confidence and resilience in their children does not reflect that investment of time.
In the early days, there's a lot of parent involvement that can assist this. For example, making sure that your child is having some successes is completely understandable and it is good. They do need some sense of success or even some encouragement in the early days. And that will make them, you know, feel good about themselves and be more likely to try things. But if parents are engineering their child's life to be constant wins, and it's primarily through parent effort, the self-esteem will be very dependent on constant wins. And we know, you know, even if you're the smartest person in the world, that's not possible. So what ends up happening, unfortunately, is that you are setting them up for a future, setting them up their expectations for a future that is not actually that likely. And if their self-esteem is dependent on being the best at, you know, lots and lots of things, well, that self-esteem is going to falter pretty quickly as soon as they get in to school for the first time. You want the person that accepts their strengths, accepts their weaknesses. You know, it works in the short term, but it never works for these children in the long term.
Sharing stories and hearing girls discuss beauty standards can be so eye-opening. If you've listened to some of our other content, you'll know that connection and conversation is always better than a top-down approach of strict rules with no dialogue about the hows and whys and what do you thinks. Here's Dr. Dietrich's advice for how to tackle this subject with adolescent girls.
Then when it comes to speaking to your daughter, say, about these topics, what can often be really interesting is to ask them for their opinions and thoughts. So when they're using social media and keep the conversation open initially, what do they like? What don't they like? To help them start thinking critically about the content they consume, because that's what you want to be doing, is helping them to develop media literacy skills. How can they look at social media and think critically about who chose that image? Why did they pick that one to be posted? If it's an advertisement, why did the brand choose that person? What are they trying to sell? Importantly, what do you think they're trying to tell you that if you buy that product, what's going to happen to you? So those can be really good conversation starters in a way that's non-judgmental. It's somewhat neutral. You're not necessarily telling them exactly what they should be doing, but you're developing those critical thinking skills.
We're all aware of the risks of social media, but what we say as trusted adults carries weight too. Consider how you talk about your own body. What critical comments might you be making in front of a young girl? And yes, these probably reflect those comments made in front of you when you were a child. Maybe it's something like, "Ugh, I look so old," or, "Oh, I'm so disgusting for eating that huge slice of cake." Even though those criticisms aren't directed at your young observers, their impressionable brains are soaking it all up. If you consider your own relationship with your body and strive to have a positive body image in general, that will naturally benefit the young people around you. Here's Trudy Hall, the host of The Connected Girl.
This is going to be hard work, isn't it? And it's so deeply embedded in the ways in which we were raised. So not only are we trying to present ourselves in a different way to the girls in our lives, we're also trying to think about how we ourselves operate in the world because of what we might be inflicting on others, not even aware of what we're doing.
Practicing body appreciation is another effective place to start, and it's a strategy backed by science. Our bodies are constantly doing so many different things for us. Our digestive systems are working, our brains are processing, we're breathing, our skin is renewing. All wonderful things to keep us alive and thriving. Our bodies allow us to hug our partners, carry our children, taste delicious food, to go for a walk, to laugh with a friend, and even joyfully singing a song in the shower. If you do notice yourself having a negative thought about your body, try to match it with one thing that you're grateful for, and maybe even say it out loud for the girl in your life to hear. Thank you so much for tuning into On Educating Girls short series. If you like this, you will love the full episodes of our podcast, where listeners are offered resources, language, tips, and programs for educating and empowering girls and young women by those who educate, work with, and understand girls best. If you're a regular listener, please help others see this content by sharing this content, leaving a comment, or even a 5-star review. For more information on the International Coalition of Girls' Schools, please visit us at girlschools.org.